Took a while. Okay. Anything specifically? Okay, good. Well, the homework was needed, apparently. Good to know. Refresh yourself on these things. Be assumed that that is something, whether fresh in your mind or not, is something we're capable of recalling as we move forward. And we'll develop techniques to have to do that as little as possible. I need to understand the fundamentals. So next homework is posted. It'll be due Friday of next week. Deals with some switching loss design of power converters.
Yeah. Are you going to post solutions for this homework?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to post solutions to the website, and I'll email out a password to everybody how to access that. Okay. So last class we were talking about this overlap type power loss and looking at the origins and analysis of that, assuming this was kind of the only mechanism going on in the circuit, that we were neglecting a lot of other parasitics, really just focusing on the gate charge of the power device and its switching characteristics from really the transfer characteristics. We saw that there is this overlap time that occurs between when the gate voltage hits the threshold and when we make it past this Miller plateau, where we can actually take over all the current, transition the entire voltage, and get the device fully on. That gate charge resulted in a power loss due to this overlap mechanism. Looks like area of this triangle here, which was mass times peak voltage times peak current in the system, times the time, the energy, and then multiplied by FS for the total power. So, say we're not happy with this, what sort of recourse do we have? Probably VDC and IL are things that are dictated by the topology, dictated by what's going on, the amount of power we want to convert. So we probably don't have a lot of control over those, at least initially. If we're sticking to a hard switch type converter, not moving to something soft switch yet, those will be constant, or we're really only our only recourse is this overlap time. Okay. So I can control that somewhat with my gate driver. Right? So looking back here, we said this x-axis is gate charge, but for a constant current, I can translate this into time, current being charge per second. So if I want to reduce that loss, I can increase the current coming out of my gate driver, increase the drive strength. I'll have these same waveforms going on, but I'll just compress them down now. I'm trying to really speed through that overlap time and just blast through it as quickly as possible. I'll still get this triangle, but it'll be narrower and have a smaller total energy. Any questions on that before I look at the turn-off transition? Yeah. Not in what we're looking at right now. Well, which current? So, not yet. Thinking ahead in a practical implementation, there's going to be limitations to that. With the circuit I have here, I don't have a lot of parasitics that would exist in a real circuit, right? I don't have inductances, I don't have capacitances in there just yet, other than the gate charge. So these are the waveforms I would get. There is, and we'll talk about it more later, but there's going to be a limitation to that. If I try to drive this thing infinitely fast, get T overlap down to femtoseconds, then I'm going to have this transition occur in that time. I'm going to have near infinite DIDTs, near infinite DVDTs. When I go to any real circuit with capacitances and inductances, thing it's just going to bring out. Okay, so there is a limitation there. We're not going to get into a lot of detail on that just yet. Okay, other questions? Okay, so if I go to look at the turn off transition again of M2, so I've gone through this turn on, I have my inductor current flowing in this direction, M2 has turned on and taken over all that inductor current, and now I want to turn it off. What happens? Again, look at VGS, or did I do these? IDS and VDS of this device. So initially, it's on, VGS is high, IDS is IL, VDS is roughly zero. And on my transfer characteristic, I am somewhere here. Okay. As I begin to shut this off, I'm going to initiate the transition by turning off my gate drive. And that's going to be pulling current now out of the gate node to shut this thing down and decreasing the gate charge. So I'm going to begin this turn off by ramping down VGS. Lighter slope here. And initially, that's not going to do much of anything because I'm still in this, I'm at a very high VGS. And as I bring it down, all it's doing is slightly increasing the on resistance of the device. It's really not going to make much of a difference. So on my transfer characteristic, I'm kind of hopping down these VGS curves at a constant ID, so kind of moving through these different curves. And it's only once I reach this curve where my saturation current is close to the amount of current going through the device that any further increase is going to change my operating behavior. That is at what we had called the Miller voltage, VM. So at this point, everything has kind of stayed the same. I zoomed in very close on this VDS waveform. It might be going from 5 millivolts to 7 millivolts because that decrease in VGS has slightly increased the on resistance of the device. For the purposes of this large signal plot, just stays zero. Once I hit this point, what happens? So with the circuit I've drawn here, and only these idealized elements, IL stays constant. It has to continue flowing through M2 until I can get that high side body diode on, right? So M2 is going to keep all of IL until I can raise V switch high enough, which is the same as VDS. My notation's bad, and I should feel bad. Until I can raise V switch all the way up to VDC and get this diode forward bias, all of that current's going to be locked in M2. So I'm going to be stuck in saturation as this voltage is rising, and I'm really going to trace the exact same curve back that I traced during the turn on transition. So here was 2 and 3. I'm going to be stuck with this full current. I'm going to hit my Miller plateau and transition the voltage until it hits VDC. At this point, M1's body diode turns on. and my current can now ramp down proportional to my gate voltage with this GM VDS minus the threshold type characteristic. Okay. So these waveforms, really just the flip version of these waveforms, I'm going to end up with the same kind of overlap type loss. That I had during my turn on. Okay. Make sense? So, what was really the, let's see, I got simulations here. So I ran this same simulation model that we were looking at before, which I guess I deleted that slide out, but looks something like this. I put in a MOSFET and remove all capacitance from it, and then put those capacitors externally so that I can monitor waveforms in them. And then I just have 6, 10 amps IL, IG is 1 amp until the voltage gets high enough at the gate or low enough until I finish the transition in 300 volts total VDC. When I look at these turn-off waveforms, I see they look very similar. I end up with the same Miller plateau. During the Miller plateau, all of my gate current is flowing up through the gate-to-drain capacitor, and my turn-off transition, the speed, is dictated by my amount of gate current, this 1 amp, and how quickly it can charge and discharge that Miller capacitor. So it really is the gate driver that is controlling the switching transition. And I can examine that by looking at how quickly the switch node is rising. So my DV switch DT, this is from simulation measurements, and we can kind of see it here, I suppose. It's about linear. It rises 300 volts in something a little bit more than 5 nanoseconds. I'm going to say this is 300 volts in 6 nanoseconds. Okay, so 50 volts per nanosecond. And what I want to see is, in this simulation, I have 1 amp of gate current going into this 20 pico capacitor. So that I over C is a DVDT. So IG over CGD was 1 over 20 picofarads, where 20 is equal to 50 volts per nanosecond. So the slew rate at which I'm controlling this is entirely dictated by how fast the gate drive can get through that Miller capacitor. The problem, the reason we're getting this loss, is that beginning of the transition, all of my gate current is going down to the gate source capacitor, and it's discharging it and dropping the gate source voltage, beginning to turn this device off. When I reach this Miller plateau, my device would like to shoot up and drain source voltage, turn off very quickly. But when I see, I have a blank slide here. There was one. So I kind of, at the turn off, have this situation where I have IL going down into my device. Have this CGD. and I've got my gate current flowing out to turn off. I don't really care where this is going so much, but something like this. So if I didn't have this CGD coupling things, then my IG could just continue dropping the voltage, continue shutting its thing off. The problem is that in order to turn it off, I need my VDS to rise, and the VGD voltage, like I was saying earlier, this gate kind of in the 0 to 5 volt range during this time, drain going 0 to 300 volts. So however fast I want to transition that VDS, I see the same DVDT on CGD. And that's going to result in some current going back from kind of my power stage back into the gate, right? And I cannot transition this thing any faster than the amount of current IG going through that CGD capacitance. If I try to, let's look here. Color, I'm going to result in a high drain to gate. CGD times DVDG DT, I is equal to CDVDT here. Like I said, this term is approximately DVDS DT because there's relatively little change in the gate node over this time. So my IDG approximately CGD times VDS DT. And so, assume by some miracle I get this thing to start switching faster. I've got an IG of 1 amp, and I make VDS switch very fast. I'll get this IDG feeding back, which might be more than that 1 amp. I've got 2 amps coming back through the Miller capacitance, 1 amp going out. The rest of that current has to go through CGS. It's going to turn the device back on. As it turns it back on, I'm going to reduce the rate of VDS because I'm turning the device back on. It's not going to rise as quickly. This is where we get that Miller plateau. It's kind of clamped in there. It balances out where all of the current through CGD goes back through IG. There's no current in CGS, so the voltage is clamped. So, how can I get away from this? I can, and like we were saying about the overlap loss, I can increase IG. Increasing IG, everything stays the same, but I can go through this whole transition faster. I can support a faster rise in VDS. The other option is to try to slow down VDS. And at the moment, with what we're analyzing, we're a little bit limited in that all of IL really needs to come down, go through the FET. There's no other path. And any real device will have some CDS capacitance, which gives me a secondary path. So I can actually cut off the current through the FET and still have IL flowing through CDS. And my ideal situation, right, is that I cut off this FET very quickly, right? So when I want to turn off this FET, I shut it off almost instantaneously. Its current goes to zero. IL continues flowing through CDS. Voltage rises slowly, but it rises with no current through the resistive channel of the FET, and I can get very low losses. So how do I do that? Ideally, I would cut off this FET, all the current would flow through CDS, and my So let's put some verbiage here. So kind of a thought experiment, let's assume this happens, that I shut off the FET very quickly. All of IL flows over into CDS, and that's gradually raising the VDS voltage. What I'm going to get is a dVDS dt is equal to IL over CDS. Just going to be a current charging a capacitance. Okay. Have kind of this linear slope. It will take a second to do this. The gate voltage will drop. I'll go through this GM, VTH, saturation characteristic, but I can transition all that current over. I'm not dependent on waiting until the high side diode turns on because I have another path for this current now. IL doesn't have to wait until the diode's on. So from here, that same dVdt is going to be the dVdt across my Miller capacitance. And it's going to result in this IDG current that looks like CGD times that dVdt. So I'm going to have an IDG, which looks like CGD IL over CDS. And for this to happen, I need to make sure that my gate current can handle this and continue shutting off the device. Okay. So I need IG greater than and hopefully much greater than CGD IL over CDS. And I can adjust this trade-off with capacitance, with operating point, with gate drive design. But my goal here is to, instead of having this device spend a bunch of time in the Miller plateau and have these full overlap type losses, to get the device really fully off before its voltage even begins to rise and reduce those power losses. Okay. Make sense? So here was the original turn-off transition with no CDS capacitance. What I ran in this simulation is I added a 1 nano CDS capacitance to the low side externally. I guess in this simulation I had a diode. Added that 1 nanofarad, see the Miller plateau is completely gone, right? This is my gate voltage, VG. Here I'm looking at IDS of the FET and the switch node voltage. This was an accident. That shouldn't have been on the plot. See that the drain current drops before I really even get any appreciable rise in the drain to source voltage. And now my overlap power loss is about zero. There's still some little segment of it here where I have simultaneous overlap of both voltage and current, but compared to what I had before, it's relatively negligible. But you can see is that the way this helps me out is by adding this additional CDS capacitance, I'm actually affecting this thing by this term. I've kept the same CGD, IL, and IG. I'm just improving the trade-off by increasing CDS, actually slowing down the rate at which the voltage is going to rise when the gate isn't limiting it, so that the gate driver can keep up. So here, when I look at the current going through the CGS capacitance, initially I have my 1 amp, just based on polarity, current flowing out, 1 amp to turn off CGS. Once I start changing, once I get past this Miller plateau and start changing the VDS voltage, see there's a small amount of current subtracted from that CGS. Some 100 milliamps that's going up through CGD to support this DVDT. If I go back to the no CDS capacitance case, same thing, the problem is it just takes all of my gate current. My CGS was 1 amp and it drops to 0 and all of the current goes up through CGD, I'm Miller clamped. Then once I finish that Miller plateau, I can put current back through CGS and finish the transition. Okay. This is our constraint. I added in simulation here just to show this a little bit more clearly. My same simulation, what I did is I stepped through different values of CDS and FICE. I gave it a parameter, and I'm going to look at 5 different values of CDS capacitance. Looking at my trade-off here, let me rewrite this. Same thing, IG over IL greater than CGD over CDS. That's a little bit easier to assess where I am. I've got IG of 1 amp, IL of 10 amps, IG over IL of 1/10. Then this CGD over CDS goes from close to what, 20% up to 1%. So somewhere kind of in that range. As I step through these, what I'm looking at, fortunately Spice wouldn't let me change the label color. This is VGS, this is IDS, this is V switch, and this is PDS, which is V switch times IDS. This last one, I had to put it on a log scale so that you could actually see all of them. Okay. But so this first one is my smallest CDS. I'm going in this direction, CDS is increasing, and the colors do match on these. So at my smallest CDS, I have this big Miller plateau. My current gets locked in as my voltage rises here. And I end up with this very large power loss, but I also have the fastest transition here. As I begin increasing CDS, the speed at which I could accomplish the switching action decreases. And that's intentional. I need to slow this down so that my gate driver can kind of outrun it. But it's not all a win, right? Because slowing this down significantly may limit my switching frequency, spending so much time in this transition. Okay. Additionally, as I increase CDS for a larger capacitor, if I take it from 0 to 300 volts, I've got a whole lot more energy in it, right? Now, we looked at early in the class, that's energy put into a cap, not necessarily a problem. If I'm in some kind of a soft switching topology, if I'm going to use a resonant transition to get it back out. But if I'm just hard switching and I put a bunch of extra energy in CDS and during the next turn on, I'm going to short it out, then it's going to be an issue. What I saved in overlap losses by adding this, I probably lose in capacitance loss on the turn on. Questions on that? Okay. So, the thing I wanted to look at here, hopped around in slides. So we've looked at turn off and turn on of what we were calling M2 for a couple of cases. Let's look quickly at the M1 turn on. Okay, I'm going to look at the M1 turn-on transition. This one is different, and now this is what we call a synchronous device for this direction of inductor current. This device could be replaced with a diode for the direction IL is flowing, and I could sustain operation of this circuit. So I can't really decouple the turn on of M2 or of M1 from the turn off of M2. So I'm going to look at them together. So to look at this M1 turn on transition, I'm going to start with M2 turning off. So if I look at the turn off, call this my VGSs, and I'm going to start with VGS of M2 coming down to zero and shutting off. This is VGS M2. So we'll assume that I've designed this thing in such a way and added such a CDS capacitance that M2 turns off in this kind of nicer fast turn off transition where I don't have a Miller plateau. And once M2 is able to turn off, I look at my IDSs and my V switch. I can plot just one. So somewhere here with M2, as I begin shutting it off, it's handling the current and it's going to give up that current, if it's this nice kind of slow shut off with CDS capacitance, the current that was in M2 transitions over to the CDS capacitance. And the switch node voltage begins to rise. Curve up here. And then do this kind of a thing. Eventually reach its peak value here. Okay. So far I'm plotting everything about the low side device, what it does to shut off, and the switch node in between them. Yes. I am plotting this IDS. So the assumption of this type of switching that we were just looking at is that I can quickly shut off what is effectively the channel current of the device going through the FET part, and it all pushes over to that capacitance, that CDS capacitance. And so if I plotted the, call this I sub C, it would look like this. And then at this point, shut off, call this. So IL is keeping a constant current flowing into that node. So the sum of these two and anything else that's taking current out has to be IL, all right? And that's, in this case, this value. Okay. So at this point, we say V switch has reached up to VDC. Now it's going to happen regardless of what I do with the gate of M1. V switch has gone high enough that I can forward bias its body diode and begin turning on that device. If I don't switch it at all, what will happen is this will rise, a small diode drop above and steady out there. And sometime later, I can turn on M1. I'll, instead of conducting through the body diode, move it over to the MOSFET channel, and depending on current and on resistance, likely kind of drop from 0.7 volts down to something smaller in terms of the voltage source to drain on that set. So this would be if I then turn on, be careful with my colors here. VGS of M1 somewhere here. Okay. It will take over all of the current right at this point when the body diode turns on. So the I, we want to call this H, so that I don't have to separate the source to drain current of the FET and the body diode current. That's just the current going up through that complete MOSFET device. It takes over at that point. It is passively turning on through this diode. So it is, in effect, zero voltage switch. V switch is the middle node there. The VDS of M1 is VDC minus V switch. So it's kind of the voltage here. And this charging of CDS is bringing me up to zero before the device turns on. Okay. So this is a nice zero voltage switching condition. The overlap can be approximately zero. This type of transition, synchronous FET turn on, losses are very much controlled by your modulation. So if I turn on, as I've drawn here, with VDS, about that. Lost my laptop. Sorry about that. I've only got a couple minutes left. I'm just going to go to the board. So if I look at this V switch, it comes, it rises up to VDC, and I'm choosing where to turn on my high side device. We are calling M1. So in what I had on those slides, I was turning on somewhere out here, VGS1 of my high side device, and I turn it on out here. What that gives me is this little bit of extra body diode conduction loss during this time, where I'm going to have, it's really a conduction loss. It's from current flowing through a VF, but it's going to realize more like a switching loss because it's during this fixed time, it's in every switching period. So I'd have kind of a P body diode, looks like IL VF times this time TBD. That's total energy. So per switching period FS. So what I would prefer to do, I get colors. Just black. Is instead turn on right at this time. Ideally, never turn on the body diode at all. Just right at the exact moment when B switch hits VDC, bang my set on at that time, and end up with none of this, with zero voltage switching, with no extra body diode conduction. That's my timing goal. It tends to be difficult. If the current changes, it'll change my ramp rate in this transition. So now the amount of time between when I shut off M2 and when I turn on M1 changes, I need to have a controller that can track that precisely. I need to worry about, well, if I'm a little bit too early, I'm going to switch right here. This V switch voltage is somewhere in the middle, and I'm going to turn on this device with VDC minus V switch on it. That's not going to be the full VDC, but it's also not going to be zero. And as I turn it on, I'm going to have kind of a basically what'll look like our original overlap turn on transition, but with a reduced voltage. I'm going to end up with capacitive loss and overlap loss at that transition. Right. Questions on that? Okay. We'll end there today and pick up on Monday. Sorry, my computer froze. Thank you.